Holy Gospel according to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when they had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, the shackles he broke to pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjourn you to God. Do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirit begged him, "Send us into the swine. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demonic sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demonic and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. Please read verses 18 through 20 along with me.
As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for them. And everyone was amazed.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
We'll have all the kids that want to come up, children this time, come on up as we sing "This Little Light of Mine," and we'll join together.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, you wanna come up? You wanna hold this for me? It'd be helpful. Here. So today we have some masks that my kids helped me make. This one is a smiley face mask. This one is like afraid or worried. I'm going to hold that one. Great. This one is surprised. Okay. If you can't tell, there you go. This one is angry. So mad at stuff. Something. Who wants to hold this one? Anyone over there? Okay. Great. And this one is sad. I'm so sad today. You got it? Great. Okay. And you guys can share them too, okay? So what I want you to do, first I'll maybe I should introduce myself. I am Vicar Daphne. I am the pastor intern here at Calvary Lutheran Church. I'm helping out this morning. So, okay, put the mask up on your face. And now make a facial expression underneath. Like smile or be sad or be angry or worried, you know. Okay, great. Now, can we see what kind of expression they have underneath the mask? No, we can't. Okay, take the masks off. Good. Okay, now, let's see. You had worried. What was your face underneath? A smile. Okay, great. Okay, which one did you have? Surprise. Were you surprised under there? No. Angry under there. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we, as people, cannot see what was underneath the masks. But guess who can? Jesus. Right? So sometimes we're really sad inside. Like, we stubbed our toe in the morning, or we spilled milk all over the breakfast table, and we're just so sad. But we leave the house, and we are like, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to show everyone I'm happy. No one will know that I'm really sad. But Jesus knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He always knows how we're feeling deep inside, and he always wants to help us feel better. Always. Okay? So in our Bible story today, there is a man who is feeling really sad inside because he is fighting this evil that is somehow got inside of him. A demon, right? The demon got inside of him. He doesn't know how it got in there, but he wants it to come out, and he can't get it out. He's so sad, and he's angry, and he's flailing around, and he's acting like this crazy person. Nobody knows what to do with him. Get away from me, right? So Jesus comes and heals him. He gets the evil out of him, and the man is so happy that he has been freed and he has been cleansed and healed by Jesus. So what I want you guys to take away when you leave here is to remember that Jesus always knows how you're feeling, and he always wants to help you feel better because he always loves you. Okay? All right, let's do a little prayer. You guys can help. I'll say it, you copy, back forth, okay? Jesus, thank you for seeing me inside. For who I really am. Even when I tried to hide it from others. Thank you for loving me. All the time. Amen. All right, can I have the masks back so we can maybe use them for Sunday school or Kingdom Kids, something in the future? Great, thank you. And now you guys can go with Pastor Nate to Sunday school or back to your moms and dads, wherever you want to go. Good morning. I'm walking into 2020, there we go, with a clear heart and mind. If you owe me, don't worry about it. You're welcome. If you've wronged me, it's all good, lesson learned. If you're angry with me, you've won. I let it go. If we aren't speaking, it's cool. I truly wish you well. If you feel I've wronged you, I apologize. It was not intentional. I'm grateful for every experience that I have received. Life is too short for all of the pent-up anger, holding of grudges, and extra stress or pain. Here's to 2020! So I read this on Facebook a few weeks ago and decided that it's my motto for this year because I'm completely in agreement with it. And I hope you'll think about it, and maybe you're in agreement with it too. Remember, forgiving someone is for you, not for the other person. So don't block your blessings, God's blessings, and healings and light. This is where I feel I'm at in my present day, in my present life. I feel completely blessed that I get to be the one standing up here today talking to you. Do you know that I was a substitute preacher for 2 years before starting internship here in and around Bemidji? And I am thrilled to be speaking today about the good news that comes out of the demonic story that is our gospel reading today. Now, our gospel story is about a man who desperately needs healing and help. But that's not all. It's a very uncomfortable story. There's a lot of uneasiness in it. And it kind of reminds me of our world today. There's a lot of uncomfortableness in our world going on today, too. Uneasiness, right? Chaos. It's messy. It's not perfect. What is, right? But in order to understand why our world is chaotic, messy, we need to understand our history. What happened yesterday? What happened last year? What happened a century ago? And it's just like in the Bible. In order to understand the Bible stories, we have to know the history. We need to know what happened. What was going on in Jesus' time? Who were the people? What were they like? And why were they the way they were? So I did a little research and came up with some insights that I want to share with you. So we're going to dissect the gospel story after a little water. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, begins with, and I quote, "They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him." This means that Jesus and his 12 disciples had left their Jewish country by boat and traveled about 6 miles to the village on the other side of the water, which was actually probably called Cursa. This is huge because this village, this country, they did not know Jesus, and they did not know what he does. So when Jesus got there, this crazy man, he like barely got out of the boat, this crazy man was like right there. Help me, right? The scripture continues with, "He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones." This poor man, he's really horrifying people. He's abusing himself and probably has scars all the way down his body. And he had chains that were kind of like handcuffs, but he pulled them apart easily as if it was just a piece of string. The strength of the man. The scripture story continues with, "When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me.'" So when this man ran towards Jesus, perhaps in the beginning he was hostile. "What are you doing here? You must be here for me. Why are you here? Just stop." Right? Can you imagine the surprise of the disciples when they got there, they're about to get out of the boat, and this crazy man comes and is like pushing them aside. "Jesus, got it." Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't know what to do. That's what I think of. Continuing on, the scripture says, "For he had said to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' He replied, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country." So the unclean spirit inside this crazy man is a demon. He named himself Legion and says, "We are many." During this time, a Roman legion was about 6,000 soldiers. Now we have a better understanding. There's about 6,000 demons like pulling and pushing inside this man. No wonder he's acting all weird. No wonder he wants them out. Right? Jesus tells the demon to get out of the man's body. Jesus performs an exorcism to get the demon out. Jesus is providing this man a healing, a cleansing. But the demon begs Jesus, "Do not throw me out into the country. If I go out into the abyss, it will torment me. I do not want that. I am happy in this man. I have made a home in this man. I am happy here. Don't pull me out." The story continues. It says, "Now there on the hillside, a herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirit begged him, 'Send us into the swine, let us enter them.' So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demonic sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demon man and to the swine reported it." Swine are pigs. In today's day and age, 2,000 pigs would cost about $225,000. So the man was finally freed from the demons, and he was feeling so much better. But the demons entered the pigs, and the pigs walked right down into the ocean or into the sea, and they drowned. The good news is that the demons drowned with the pigs. The bad news is that the owners of the pigs were now missing their livestock. Say you are a farmer. You wake up one morning and you go outside to feed your animals. And you realize there are no animals there. They are all missing. What do you do? How do you feel? Personally, I'd be shocked first and then pretty upset. My pets, my income, my work, gone, vanished, disappeared. What do you do? Had the people been Jews, they probably would have been really excited that the man was freed from his impossible bondage. But these people were Gentiles, and they didn't care at all about the man that had been freed or that had been demon-possessed. They only cared about the money that they have now lost because this weird man named Jesus came and drowned their pigs. He has ruined their lives, they think, right? In the clash between business and spiritual welfare, business came first for them, which today often happens also. Let's stop the story for a minute. Can you imagine being driven by a force that is beyond your control? Can you imagine something having a hold of you that you cannot get rid of? Think about it. All of us have something that controls us. Every single one of us. And we are uncomfortable with naming it. We are uncomfortable with talking about it, about thinking about it. What is that for you? This is not just an ancient story. This is not something that just happened in the past. All of us in this room have things that control us. And it's quite uncomfortable for me, and probably for you, to think about what that thing is. What is something that has control of you? It could be an obsession of something. It might be chemical dependency. It might be alcohol addiction. Maybe it's a mental illness, or depression, or anxiety. Jesus asked the demon and the man what his name was. The answer was Legion. Jesus wants us to name out loud the power that controls us too. What in your life do you want to be freed from? What in your life do you want to be able to let go? It is so scary to admit to ourselves the things that control us that we cannot control, right? I have several family members who have died from alcohol addiction, and they were all young, under the age of 40. They knew alcohol had control over them, but they weren't really good at admitting it to themselves or to others. Therefore, they did not ask for help. They did not get the help they needed before it was too late. It only took one drink for them to get hooked, one drink to get addicted, one drink to never have the ability to turn another one down. What has control over you? What do you need healing from? On earth, here on earth, there is no ultimate freedom from these things. But Jesus,
He really helps.
There are days when I really need Jesus' healing touch. And on these days, when I get in the car, it seems, and I turn the radio on, the song that plays are the exact words that I need to heal, that I need to hear to feel healing from. And to me, that's Jesus working through me, saying, "This, I hope, will calm you, help you at least for a moment feel better." Jesus knows me better than I know myself. And I feel his spirit and his presence helping and healing me when I need it most. The first step to being healed from these things that have power over us is admitting it, naming it, saying it out loud to yourself and to others, really noticing and realizing that it is there. The second step is to resist it. Embrace our Lord who can master it. Ask for the coming of God's kingdom to repel that evil. Our scripture reading continues. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might go with him, basically. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Because the townspeople are angry with Jesus for killing their pigs and losing the money, they are afraid of him. These people do not understand that Jesus comes to heal and to help. They are scared by the power that he has over the man and over their animals. Certainly, no people needed the message about Christ more than these people who were begging Jesus to leave. But they asked him to leave, and since Jesus does not stay where he is not wanted, he left. But before he left, the man he healed asked him, "Can I be one of your disciples? Can I go with you? You freed the pain from me, and I feel so much better. I want to go with you." And Jesus said no. Not because he didn't like the man, because he loved him. Jesus had greatly blessed this man, and he gave him the hardest task of all, to go home and witness there for Christ. In Galilee, Jesus had several times forbidden the healed to tell what he had done for them because of the undue excitement that it caused. But here it was different. There was no danger of too much excitement or enthusiasm for Christ in this environment. He wants the man to go back to his friends and share the good news of what the Lord has done for him. Tell his story. Because this is how God's kingdom works, right? And this is how it grows. By people sharing the good news of Christ. By people shining God's light in the world. You know, I felt God's light today. Just a little while ago, when we were singing "This Little Light of Mine," when the kids were marching up here for the children's time and then marching off to Sunday school, Jesus calls his followers the light of the world. This includes you and you and you and you and me. You and me, yes. So every time we sing or hum the song, "This Little Light of Mine," it's a reminder that we are shining Jesus' light of hope and joy and acclaiming and radiating the love of Christ everywhere we go. You know, looking ahead in Mark's gospel, Jesus eventually comes back to the city and is met by crowds of people, which means the man he healed did what he was asked to do. He told his story. He told everyone about Christ. And now they have come and they're like, "You know what? We want to see you. We want to touch you. We want to hear your stories. And we want you to heal us. Come help us." Do you know at Luther Seminary, where I go to school, they have a program called "Why Jesus?" People share their testimonies of what the Lord has done for them in their lives. It's usually over lunch. Everyone's eating and listening, and somebody, the students and staff alike, take turns. They share their testimonies. People listen. They're videotaped, recorded. It's put all over the web, everywhere. You can Google it, hear them. Their stories shine their light into the world. I've heard many of them. You can Google them, you can hear them too. They're wonderful, just like our gospel story today. Let's pray. Jesus, healer of mind and body, we sometimes suffer at the hands of physical, mental, and spiritual ailments. Quiet our minds, still our hearts, breathe your light into us, and empower our bodies so that we may be whole and healed. Amen. Your light into us, and empower our bodies so that we may be whole and healed. Amen.